Hello and welcome to Money Control's Personal Finance Podcast, brought to you by Kuvera.in, India's first completely free mutual fund investing platform. You are listening to Lisa Pallavi Barbora, and joining me for this episode is Kaizad Azajania, the Personal Finance Editor at MoneyControl.com. Kaizad, welcome to this episode.
Hi, Lisa.
Last time we discussed risk, and one of the types of risks that investors deal with is fund manager risk.
Correct.
As an investor, you rely on what the fund manager picks for the portfolio in most mutual fund schemes. But there is another type of scheme which is gaining popularity, passive schemes which do not have this fund manager risk.
That is true. And, you know, SEBI also, the market regulator, also has been nudging mutual funds to launch more passive funds, ETFs, index funds. In fact, a few weeks ago at the annual general meeting of AMFI, that's the trade body, the association of mutual funds,
There
also SEBI chief nudged, reminded mutual funds to launch more ETFs, to sell more ETFs.
So, Kaizad, we have seen this kind of increased popularity of passive funds like ETFs over the last 2 years or so.
Yeah.
And we see new launches as well.
Correct.
So what's contributing to their popularity?
So a couple of reasons, Lisa. One is obviously the EPFO, the Employees Provident Fund Organization, also has been wanting to invest in equities for a long time. And finally, it got the nod to be able to invest the corpus in equities. But for now, they have been told to limit their investments in equities through passive funds. And ETFs has been the chosen vehicle. So a lot of money from EPFO. And EPFO is a big
huge
corpus. So that itself has come to ETFs, and that has pushed the costs down. So while the maximum expenses that an actively managed equity fund can charge would be in the range of 2.5% or so, in ETFs, because of this gush of money coming in, the costs and competition also has forced the cost to come down to as low as 3 basis points, 7 basis points. That's virtually free.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So that's a big contributor.
The other contributor is also because so much of money is coming into ETFs, and so much of therefore money is being invested in large cap stocks.
Right.
Okay. And large cap stocks have been now defined as top 100 stocks, by SEBI as far as mutual funds are concerned. Okay. So along with the cost factor, also the regulator has mandated, if you remember, Lisa, a couple of years ago, in fact, that, you know, all mutual funds have to benchmark their performance against total returns index.
Right.
Okay. Also, because of the costs going down and the returns from large cap funds also going down over a period of time because of competition and other factors, it's getting difficult for an actively managed large cap fund to consistently outperform a large cap benchmark index.
Especially when you're looking at the total return index.
Especially
which becomes harder
for a mutual fund to beat the benchmark index. So all of these conditions have pushed the popularity of passive funds. Because what's the point of paying a 2.5% fees if my outperformance over a benchmark is going to be just a few percent points here and there, or even worse, underperforming the benchmark index.
So you may as well invest by the benchmark.
Correct.
Through
buy
these,
the benchmark itself.
ETFs and
index funds.
Okay. And Kaizad, in a previous discussion we had with Gaurav Rastogi of Kuvera, he focused on how cost is given in a mutual fund, whereas return is an expected outcome, right? So you can control the cost. And as you were also saying, that cost is, you know, perhaps one of the reasons behind the popularity of ETFs. But I mean, is that enough for them to score over active funds? So is that enough of a reason for, you know, a passive ETF, because it's low cost, should I simply blindly just choose that over an active fund?
No. So obviously you can't choose blindly any fund, least of all a passive fund also. But cost is definitely a major factor. It depends on what funds you are selecting. So as we discussed in the last question about large cap funds, there are mid cap funds, there are small cap funds also.
Okay.
So costs definitely are a factor in large cap funds, because the chances of a fund manager outperforming an active fund manager, large cap fund manager outperforming a benchmark index has gone down in the last 3-4 years, and it will even go down further going ahead.
Okay.
So obviously their costs become a deciding factor. But in the case of, let's say, a mid cap fund or small cap fund, there's still a lot of outperformance, there's still a lot of chances of fund managers to outperform because there is a lot of scope. Okay. There is one fund mid-cap manager can have a slightly different strategy than another mid-cap fund manager.
So the stock picking ability, there is scope in
a mid-cap fund to outperform. Let's say in a large cap fund, you can obviously go in for a Nifty fund and a Nifty Next 50 fund.
Okay.
So Nifty fund is first 50 stocks, next 50 fund is the next 50 stocks. Okay. Together combined, you have 100 stocks, and that's what the definition of a large cap fund is.
Okay.
Right. So you can invest in a Nifty low cost Nifty index fund, a low cost Nifty 50 index fund, and you are covered in your large cap allocation.
Okay.
And Nifty Next 50 is also something that investors can keep a track of because that's a superb index. Okay, that comes with a very, very...
So those are 50 stocks after the top 50?
Yeah, after the top 50. So they are the ones who are waiting to break into the 50. So there's still that gain to come.
Yeah.
But if you check out the past performance of Nifty Next 50, it's done very well. And at times it's even outperformed mid-cap funds also. At times. So a combination of Nifty and a Next 50 fund is enough for your large-cap allocation.
Okay.
Rest, you can afford a little bit higher cost and go to an actively fund manager and you're good to go.
Okay. So that's what I wanted to ask you next, that, you know, it doesn't have to be an either or, right?
Correct.
One doesn't have to have only passive funds or only active funds.
Absolutely.
One can build a kind of a combination of the
two? One can build, of course, and one should ideally build. Mm-hmm. But we know that, you know, now fund managers are also slowly warming up to passive funds, slowly warming up to index funds and even ETFs also.
Mm.
So, you know, fund houses like Motilal Oswal, for instance, recently they have launched a bouquet of passive funds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure other funds would also come up with a bouquet of passive funds. So they are catering to investors who actually want to stick to only passive funds. Okay, so they're giving them
across market caps.
Yeah, so they're giving one large cap option, they're giving one mid cap option, they're giving one small cap option, and so on and so forth. So as of today, yes, you need to have a balance of both. But in future, you will come across these supermarkets who will give you a good mix of products in both the active as well as passive segments. So that, you know, if you don't want fund managers risk at all, then you can still go with passive funds across market caps.
And within the passive fund space, we have a whole range of ETFs, and then there are index funds as well. Do you have a preference on whether the investor should pick an ETF or an index fund, or does it not matter?
On paper ETFs, because the costs are really low and the mechanism of ETF is also such that the tracking error also is much lower than the index fund. Tracking error is basically the difference between, in simple terms, the difference between the index fund's performance and the benchmark's performance.
Okay.
So the mechanism of ETF is actually superior than that of an index fund.
Okay.
But the problem is of liquidity. Okay, if you want to buy and sell a few units of ETF on the exchange, it's okay on most days. But if you want to sell a large volume, or if you want to buy a large volume, then there could be liquidity issues on the market. There might not be enough buyers to buy if you want to sell, or there might not be enough sellers of ETFs if you want to buy. So because of
You won't be able to do the transaction?
You may not be able to do the transaction, or even if you do the transaction, then your impact cost is high.
So it won't be at a price that you hope that you were expecting it to
exactly
be.
So, and that kind of negates the gain that you would have made otherwise in an expense ratio,
right,
in a low cost product.
It beats the purpose of having a low cost.
So ETFs still haven't been as popular as they ought to have been because of liquidity issues. Okay, so that's one thing. So that is why, and plus ETFs, you know, you have to have a DMAT account.
Okay.
So not many of
Unlike other mutual fund schemes.
Exactly.
Where you don't need to have.
So not everybody would have a DMAT account, right? Not everybody would be buying and selling shares. So in that case, an index fund is always a safer option.
Index fund doesn't have the issues of liquidity and the DMAT account.
Because you go to a fund house, you want to sell, you could just go to a fund house.
Like other mutual funds,
and units get extinguished. If you want to buy the fund, you just go straight to the mutual fund and they will give you the units.
Okay.
Right. So that's one angle. The other angle is obviously now you're going to be having a lot of smart beta ETFs.
Right.
Okay, so that's one other choice that you can consider. Of course, these are still early days. So many smart beta ETFs haven't even completed, I think, 2 years or so, roughly, or one year or so, if I'm not mistaken. So that's one option that you need to watch out for in the future of how these funds do. So these are basically
But they come in the ETF format, smart beta
ETFs. Yes, they come in the ETFs format. So again, the liquidity issue is obviously what I said about ETFs implies over here as well. But here there's an added condition where the fund houses would overlay or rather the indices, index managers would overlay some conditions on a broad-based index and make a specific index, carve out a separate index out of it. That index is managed by an index manager. And fund houses are free to launch smart beta ETFs on that. So it's basically the attempt is to outsmart the index also by putting some conditions.
But all quantitative.
All quantitative.
So it is a pure passive fund. There is no fund manager.
There is no fund manager.
Sort of decision making in this. It's a quantitative condition that is overlaid.
Correct. But it's a condition that is overlaid on a broad-based index which is already there.
Okay.
So how these conditions would work across market cycles, something that we still have to see.
Yes.
But it's an interesting space to watch out for because obviously your choices as you go ahead will just go up and up.
Yes, that's true. So right now we see a lot of concentration perhaps in the large cap ETF and index fund space.
Yeah.
And there are few in mid caps you know, like you were talking about these smart beta ones. There are one or two here and there in this space as well. Should investors look at, you know, investing a little bit or wait and watch completely for this smart beta space?
A little bit, maybe a little bit, but largely wait and watch.
Okay, great. So passive funds are slowly but surely carving their way in. And Kaizad feels that in the large cap equity space, at least, there is a suitable rationale to buy in. Is that right, Kaizad?
Correct.
Yeah. And wait and watch perhaps for the others like the smart beta passive fund space. Kaizad, thank you very much for joining us on today's discussion.
My pleasure, Lisa.
Thank you, listeners, for staying tuned. Remember, mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme documents carefully before investing. Do your homework. And if you have any queries, you can write into mcpodcast@nw18.com. That's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you.